Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo. Look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Final hour of Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday out of the Portland Diamond Project store. Stop by, say hello, 1919 Southwest Morrison. Sign the big board. We're looking for 50,000 signatures so that Major League Baseball continues to pay attention to the efforts to bring a team here to Portland. We're hanging out here with Kevin Gunderson, former Oregon State Beav, national champ. You can follow him on Twitter, at KGundyPitching, and find out about his pitching academy right there. We had a chance to talk to your old coach earlier. Now, it's hard to believe that he's done, right? Are you in that mindset? Because he walks away, and a Pat Bailey, everybody loves him down there, and he's doing a good job. They're off to a great start. It's just hard to envision Pat Casey as a non-baseball coach.
I agree. 100% agree. That might be the most competitive individual he'll ever be around. You know, Case has poured his entire life into serving others and is a tireless worker and never stops.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, all caught up to him a little bit, and everyone should respect that. He literally never stops. His
yeah.
brain never shuts off. Never seen a guy get so nervous before the start of a season. Funny story, if I can share, Dallas Buck for 06 season, I think we were preseason kind of consensus top five team. He was, Case was pretty uptight. He didn't think that we were going to be very good, and we weren't practicing very well before we went to Arizona. And so Dallas put it upon himself to show up and just only tights. That's it, to the Truax Center. Walks in, no shirt on, just tights. Case looks at him like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm trying to lighten you up a little bit because you're a little too uptight. He goes, we're going to be plenty good, I promise. We'll show up on day one, and we're going to be good. And he's like, you need to go change your clothes. He didn't find it very funny at the time, but I'm sure he laughed about it now.
I was going to say, once you guys got the trophy, though, did he turn to him and go, hey, I remember that, and I apologize. You were right. You guys were pretty damn good.
I'm sure Dallas said a few choice words to him to make him laugh, but not appropriate to say on the air.
Well, the one thing I've kind of wondered with you know, former players who are kind of part of the group and yep. just help putting out the word, you know, like what's the different roles that people are maybe kind of looking at here? And I know you're doing the pitching academy. Is coaching at some level and getting kind of maybe into the bigs? Like what do you envision for yourself being a part of this group and coming on radio shows like ours to spread the word?
Yeah, I'm really just keeping my options open. I love what I do. I think with a young family, uprooting and moving to, you know, a completely new adventure is not something that we're going to say no to. There's been some opportunities in the past 3 or 4 years that I've politely declined. And so really just leaving my options open. I love what I do on a daily basis, but if an opportunity presented itself to step away from my current situation, definitely going to look at it for sure.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome, man. We loved having you stop by. The idea, I think, of having baseball in this city is so exciting to so many people.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fun part about a day like today, for people stopping by, grabbing a beer, grabbing a dog. We can all envision it. You look outside and yep. it's sunny outside, and it would be so much fun. And thanks for hanging out with us for a few minutes. It was awesome to talk to you, and best of luck with the academy,
man.
I
appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely.
Thank you. There you go. Kevin Gunderson, national champ, professional baseball pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, hanging out with us here and having a great time at the Portland Diamond Project store. Back when we got some college football we need to get into, and we'll take a look ahead to this late in sports tonight. We'll do all of it here in the final hour next on The Fan. Welcome back in, 217, hanging out here at the Portland Diamond Project store. It's been an awesome show today. We've talked to Darwin Barney, Pat Casey, Kevin Gunderson hanging out with us here, and a lot of fans have stopped by. People really enjoying the time, getting to see some of these guys. Craig Cheek's going to be on here coming up at the top of the hour. I think Mike Barrett's going to hop on with Isaac and Suk again in the final hour. So a fun day out here, and they're trying to get 50,000 signatures. So stop by, say hello. They got 20% off on all their merchandise. We already scooped up a couple of hats. So having a great time. Stop by and say hello. One thing we have talked about, I'll get to the college football stuff here in a moment, but it's been kind of the theme of the day, the story of the day throughout the sports world, has been Russell Westbrook and his interaction with his Jazz fan.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. He just got fined.
So first this happened last night. Westbrook hollers at this guy. Then the fan files a lawsuit against Russell Westbrook. And I just saw a report the Utah Jazz have conducted their investigation. It took all of, what, 8 hours to conduct their investigation.
Uh-huh.
He has been banned for life, forever attending a game again.
Now, does it say in that story why he got banned? Like, does it say that they know what he said?
They said in a statement, there is, quote, there is no place in our game for personal attacks or disrespect.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
So clearly there were personal attacks. And oh, you got it, Swigard?
Yeah, I've got the statement up. We tweeted it out. Let me get a quote. Let's see. Offensive, abusive behavior does not reflect the values of the Miller family, our organization, and the community. We all have a responsibility to respect the game of basketball and, more importantly, each other as human beings. This has always been a hallmark of our incredible fan base, should forever be our standard moving forward. They said the organization conducted an investigation through video review and eyewitness accounts. The ban is based on excessive and derogatory verbal abuse directed at a player during the game that violated the NBA code of conduct. So it did not say anything specifically,
sure.
But basically his that interview you heard earlier with the TV station that he was offering benign statements do not appear to be holding up.
good luck with the lawsuit on that one. I didn't say anything. Well, then why are you banned for life?
Why did Utah ban you for life? Yeah.
I enjoyed that. Good. Get him out of there. Clearly what he did crossed the line. And
he's banned from the arena for all events, not just jazz games.
Yeah, missing all the concerts and stuff.
So no concerts, no nothing in that area. And this is where I think we talked about earlier, like how do you have something that is kind of something that will be a deterrent from fans doing this in the future?
Right.
Here's a decent start. I mean, look, this isn't going to help the drunk guy who's on his ninth beer that's hollering these kind of things in the moment, but at least going into it, if you realize that something like this could happen to you, maybe it shuts some of the idiots up.
Right. Well, I think the other part about it, too, is what I don't get is the people who don't like Russell Westbrook, we are somehow still getting people who are doubting this guy is a piece of work. And I even heard one argument way earlier today that was like, well, we're supposed to believe a Twitter account. I'm like, yes. When people type derogatory, racial, you know, insensitive things, yeah, that's who they are. It's not some like scheme or joke or sarcasm. That's who they are to their core. So did he say everything that was claimed? Man, I don't know. I'm led to believe, yes, that Utah found that out, and that's why they banned him. But this, like, people that defend this douchebag, like,
right.
Go look at his tweets, and you tell me, why should this guy get the benefit of any doubt?
Yeah, and then claiming that, oh, no, it wasn't mine. Nobody's buying it, buddy.
Come on.
You would have deleted it ahead of time if there wasn't an issue, clearly. So this is at least a good step in this story. It was an ugly scene last night in Salt Lake City, but the fan has been banned from the arena for life from attending any future events, and I'm sure that's going to be a little detriment to his lawsuit he filed against Russell Westbrook earlier. You know, it's never too early to talk some college football. And there were two stories that came out yesterday. We'll see if we have time for both of them here. But one, I love when we get to the time of year.
Oh, I know you do.
I love this. When we have schedules that are released,
yep.
Then you have the preseason top 25s, like the way too early top 25s. I'm on it.
You always get outraged by, like,
always,
how is Vanderbilt 19?
Always get outraged. Then you have, like, national title odds and Heisman odds. Then you get the opening weekend spreads, where I think Oregon right now is projected to be like a 2-point underdog or something like that to Auburn. So we talked about that. Well, BetOnline AG has come out now with their over-unders for the upcoming football season. And I don't have access to all of the Pac-12 schools, but I do have some headliners. Let's rattle through some of these. So we'll start with Washington State. And Bruce Feldman, by the way, friend of the show, actually put together an article about the over-under bets that he likes and dislikes the most. One of the bets that he likes the most
mm-hmm.
is Washington State hitting the under of 8.5.
That's a dangerous game to play, man.
Because we all played that game last year.
I know we did. I feel like we've been playing that game for 2 years, and Leach is out here getting 9, 10 wins, 11 wins. I know they got the kid from Eastern Washington, and I thought that was a little funny because we had some Cougs fans. Remember, we talked about the what's it post Gardner Minshew, and people were like, they have all these quarterbacks waiting. And then he went and got a transfer kid from Eastern Washington, and it looks like that kid's going to jump all of the kids that were still there. I'm not doubting it. I respect Bruce
Feldman.
Can they
get to, so you think Washington State can go to 9-3
yes.
next year?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I mean, why do we need to doubt this anymore?
I know.
That system.
8.5 is a pretty high number for them.
It is a high number.
Because I think last year they were like.
6.5.
They were 6.5, yeah. And people were taking the under on 6.5.
They were.
So that's a big respect from Vegas, putting it at 8.5 with everything that they're replacing.
It might be a gimmicky system for a lot of people, and it might not win on a very high level, especially considering they've been dominated by Washington for what? It Leach's entire run.
Yeah, 4 or 5 straight years now.
But I'm not going to allow that to cloud what I've seen predominantly throughout every year, and that is they are a model of consistency for what they have done the last 3-4 years. And, you know, even with Oregon returning all these guys, there's a proven factor against Washington State. I mean, I know there's a proven factor for UW in terms of winning the conference, and I know they just beat the Huskies, but winning the conference is going to be a big part. I'm done doubting Mike Leach. I'm done doubting Washington State. I'm sure they're going to have some down years once in a while as long as he's there. But I'm not sure it's going to be this next season.
Well, you heard it here first, Washington State winning 9 games next year, according to Brandon Sprague. The other teams that I've seen from the Pac-12, USC's at 8.5. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take the under on that one, Bob. USC getting 9 wins.
I think at most USC's winning 7 games, and I think they're lucky if they can do that. I think this thing is really going to blow up immensely in their face.
By the way, they're tied up big time today in the scandal that broke the investigation about paying for access and getting in. Their athletic directors are tied into it.
$1.3 million was given to the athletic directors for access and to fib on some records.
Yeah, it is a dumpster fire down there.
It's not looking good for them, that's for sure.
I'll go ahead and gamble on them going 8-4 at best.
Well, can't we see a scenario, Dirt, where there's something like 3-6 and they fire Clay Helton in that moment of just like, all right, this is so pathetic. They're not getting anybody to show up to these games either.
Well, let me pull up. I want to, because they have a tough schedule next year. I know they have to go to Notre Dame in that rivalry. They have to play Oregon. They have to go to Washington. They play Stanford again early.
And they can't.
Utah.
Did they beat Stanford last year? It was at Stanford, but I can't remember who ended up winning that
game. I don't believe that they did, no.
Because
that was an early game.
I think Stanford's kind of had their number lately.
Yeah, so they got a tough schedule. Yeah, I'm not betting on the over on that one. The other one's the Washington Huskies. This tells you the respect for Peterson as well. I think, what are they replacing, 9 of 11 guys on defense next year?
Yeah, they had a big turnaround.
But they do, some people would argue, have an upgrade at quarterback, which was the thing that holding them back the last couple of years. Their over-under number is 10.
That's I'm not taking that one.
I'm not touching that.
I'm going to take the under or the over. That's a push number to me. They had 10 wins last year. Here's the thing about UW, and by the way, I'm glad you enjoy these things because I love, once I start talking about it, I enjoy talking about it.
You get into it, right? I love over-unders.
The thing about UW is I know we're penciling in Jacob Eason as this given that it'll be better than Jake Browning.
That we are.
Let's give Jake Browning a little credit for what he was able to do in his 4 years.
Nah, he sucks.
What did he win at, like an 800 clip? Like,
isn't he? He's the all-time winningest coach or a quarterback in Pac-12 history.
You're right. I mean, I don't think he was all that amazing. I think he was really bolstered by coaching and defense. But you also have to give him his fair share of credit. Peterson, as much as I respect him, I think he is the best coach in this conference. There's a little prove it for me, just a tad. Now, that might sound ridiculous given they've been winning the conference, but what I mean by that is I thought he lost them some games last year. Their offensive coordinator was not as good, or at least wasn't quite as ready in year one as Jonathan Smith was prior. And for an offensive-minded guy, I couldn't believe how anemic they were with returning talent, including at quarterback. Now, you can blame that on Browning, but you can't watch that Cal game and tell me you don't think Chris Peterson had a bad game. He can be a great coach.
Yeah.
He can be susceptible to really bad performances. And I thought that was kind of an example of last season, even though they went to the Rose Bowl and won the conference, was not a stellar Chris Peterson year.
Yeah, a couple of things you can point out throughout the course of the year. Their non-conference schedule is very easy. They got Eastern Washington at home, Hawaii at home, and at BYU. So for a team that's expected to win 10 games, that's a fairly manageable non-conference slate. Now for Washington, that bet is a dangerous one, because if you take the over, you're gambling on an 11-1 season. That's a tough ask.
Could happen, but
it could.
That's I'm not touching that one.
That's a tough ask. And then the last one that I've seen from the Pac-12, and we can get your thoughts better today, text line 55305 on the other side. Oregon's number, which last year opened, I think it's 7.5.
7 and 7.5.
And then it got
both.
Bumped up because so many people were betting on the over, and then I think it ended up at 8 or 8.5, which was right where they were, 8 and 4, and then they won their 9th game in the bowl game. Oregon's over-under has been set at 9.5 for next season.
Now, we should say
that is the perfect number from Vegas.
The bowl game win does not matter. This is regular season.
So. Yeah.
I'm with you. 100%. That should be the over-under number because, to me, when you look at Oregon, obviously with the returning talent, obviously with Justin Herbert, it's all well and good, but we have stated this before. It's the coaching. You know, can you guys go out there and can you go win 10 games? Can you win the Pac-12 when you have, what is it, like 20 or 19 of 22 starters coming back? That's a substantial amount of talent returning. Plus, you had a guy like a Kayvon Thibodeau as a pass rusher. They're going to have to prove it, but Vegas nailed that number. And if you were to ask me my gut feel, I think they're 9-3 next year. I would take the under on that one.
Okay, what do you think of it? 55305 is the better you today text line. Which of these bets are you most eager to play? So here, I'll remind you of the over-unders. We have them for a couple of the Pac-12 schools, according to BetOnline AG, for next college football season. Washington State's at 8.5. Washington's at 10. USC's at 8.5. And Oregon is at 9.5. Which one of those bets do you like the most? Also, another bit of college football news I want to get to. We always talk about college game day and Lee Corso and wearing the headgear, all that kind of stuff. Well, there's something that's going to try and rival it, and I wonder if anybody is intrigued by the idea. We'll get to that. Read some of your thoughts on the other side. Hey, welcome back in. 2:34. Hanging out here at the Portland Diamond Project Store. Fun Radiothon. Pairing with them all day today. Dusty was out here this morning. Isaac and Suk will be out here as soon as we're off the air from 3 to 7. So stop by, say hello, sign the big board. In an effort to bring Major League Baseball to Portland, they got a good discount going on all their gear. You can grab a hot dog and a beer while you're here. Nothing better to do on a Tuesday. We've had a blast, and it's been great to see a bunch of listeners out here all afternoon. We'll get back into college football here in a moment. I do have two flub stories. I don't know if you saw either of these that I quickly wanted to bring up, and I was just reminded of them during the commercial break. Did you see Stephen A. Smith this morning?
No. God, what did he do?
Well, Stephen A. Smith was talking about the Washington Redskins, who signed Landon Collins.
Okay.
The topic of their quarterback position got brought up, and he was very emphatic about what is Washington doing. They had all these different guys start games last year, and he made the comment that they even used the quarterback by the name of Tress Way.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem there is Tress Way is a punter. And he just happened to have looked at the box score because on the season, Tress Way was 1 of 1 for 7 yards. He actually had a 95.8 QB rating. So nice year for Tress Way in the pocket. He just unfortunately doesn't play that position. And then he got very defensive about people calling him out.
What did he do?
That he just looked at the box score and he screamed all over TV. It's cold out. If you want to go find,
he went to the box. What do you mean he looked at the box score to scream all over TV?
Well, people were saying you were just looking at the box score, and he was saying, "No, I watched him." So go. I didn't want to play the audio because I don't want to do any more service to him of playing him screwing things up.
He mistook a punter
because he looked at the box score and realized that he threw a pass last year and thought they even used Tress Way at quarterback. It was a fake punt. It was a fake punt, Steve. Sorry for that one. The other one was Charlie Casserly.
I'm not going to comment.
I know, don't
I've
comment.
Given my opinion.
I just
He's
wanted to throw it out.
A lot of money.
The other one was, remember the former scout or whatever front office guy, Casserly, who made the comment?
Charlie
about,
Casserly,
yeah. About Kyler Murray the other day? Did you see what he said yesterday?
This one I did see, and I quite enjoyed it because it was just so typical.
He had a comment saying that the Cowboys' big problem last year was throwing the ball too much to Dez Bryant. In case you were wondering, Dez Bryant.
He does not play.
Did not play for the Cowboys last year. In fact, he went.
He didn't play at all.
Most of the season unsigned. Signed with New Orleans, and then what? Tore his Achilles.
First practice.
Yeah, first practice out. So
he also, by the way, Casserly. I think he got word of Florio's report that he's a paid member for training people in interviews, and so because of that, he came out about a day or two after that report, and he came out and told everybody, Kyler Murray should be the number one pick in the draft.
Okay.
He's the best player here.
I'm going to back off on that one. It's fantastic. I saw both those. We did have a couple of thoughts. We were talking about the over-unders in college football. One Duck fan is very excited that you took the under with your gambling history.
I can see that.
Says it almost nails in a 10-win season for Oregon next year.
It might, but let me just say this to the Duck fan. I also thought Vegas nailed exactly at the 8 number. I thought that was a push number.
Yeah. It was right on the nose.
And where are you going on that number?
I mean, you know where I'm going. I'm going on the over. Last year I picked Oregon.
It could be 12 and Dirt would go over.
Well, last year, I mean, look, I picked them to go 9-3 last year.
Right.
And I obviously didn't hit. I was a game off. They didn't.
Well, the Arizona game was the disappointment.
That was the one, yeah. And you had games that could go. I mean, they could have lost to Washington. They could have beat Stanford. So you can make that counterbalance argument each way. But they were a good enough team to win 9. They just collapsed at certain points of the season. My prediction as of right now for Oregon next year would be 10-2. I think to ask for anything more than that, you're a little too pie in the sky just because how difficult the schedule is.
Sure.
But Auburn, to me, is a team that is new. They got a new quarterback.
I know nothing about their quarterback situation now that Stidham's gone.
So I think when you just look at what's returning, Oregon at least has a leg up in that regard, but it's going to be a tough game. And then Washington is one where it's a bit of a wild card for me because of what they're replacing on defense and having a new quarterback in that system. Offensively, I do think they'll be better, but the defense is what's carried them, so there's a bit – a wild card there. And then Stanford, I don't know what to expect out of Stanford next year.
Costello's back.
Does that scare anybody?
Well, I
sure, I'm not saying he's
you're
terrible.
Not a Stanford quarterback guy.
No, I'm not. Since Andrew Luck.
I think he is better than people give him credit.
And that's fair.
He was good in that Oregon game.
That's fair, but does he scare you? You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm a Beaver fan, so everybody does, but I see where you're coming
but
from.
But that's my thing, where like if you have certain guys that, and to be fair, Khalil Tate scared me last year, and
he scared everybody, and he sucked.
So those would be – I think the bet that I feel most confident in, though, like if I had to pick one of those, because we mentioned Washington State's 8.5, Washington's 10, USC's 8.5, Oregon's at 9.5.
Right.
The bet I would feel most confident in is USC in the under.
Yeah, I'm 100%. I'm actually going online and bet that tonight. I didn't know it was going to be that number.
I am all over that. There's no way they win 9 games.
Okay, so if you have it at 9, over 9.5, would you have Oregon right now in the all-too-early spring football conversation, Oregon winning the conference?
Yeah. I think they belong in the conversation.
Sure, but are you picking them to? Here, let me give you my wild card team, and I don't think it's much of a wild card, but I think the danger could be the South winning it because Utah might be really stinking good.
Utah's returning a lot. And I think the tough part there, too, is because right now they're just looking at the schedules. I'd pick Washington to go 10-2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it could be a tiebreaker situation. So does Oregon beat Washington? Because you could have two 10-2 teams, but Washington wins a tiebreaker.
And it's in Seattle, too. So it's like, okay, what is that going
to
mean?
So that's a tough part about saying they're the favorite to win the conference.
Yeah,
they have
to
go to Seattle to win that game. And with Washington's returning, that's a difficult ask.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, that also might be a game where going into it, all the Duck fans are feeling confident. And you're always a little cautious because it's a super big rivalry game. But maybe Eason's not as good. Maybe that defense does actually have a year where they take a step back. Who knows?
Well, one of the college football note I wanted to get to is we all know College Game Day is the staple on Saturdays.
Yep.
Fox is launching something that they're going to try and rival it with. And they're going to have their own pregame show starting, it looks like, at 8 a.m. Pacific. So it's going to be on kind of right by that hour window, really, before the Big Ten games usually start at about 9 a.m. And they're going to be on location for their big Fox game of the night, whatever it is, at 5 o'clock.
So you're still doing the location thing. Why is this still interesting for people?
Still a thing. So here is their crew. Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush are going to be there.
Okay.
Brady Quinn is going to be on set.
He's not in the booth anymore?
He will be on the booth. He will be in the booth for that game. So they're going to be at a game.
I mean, like, he's not doing play-by-play.
He will, but they're going to be on site for a game that they're calling.
So he's like Herb Street.
Exactly. Okay. So he'll be there, and then Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I not surprised about
Urban. Has been hired for the year. He'll be hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, look, Urban's going to be scouting the USC job
for a year. The old Urbs is there getting the lowdown on his next job in college football.
By the way, do you know where they're hubbed?
Where are they hubbed?
L.A. Guess who's going to be around USC a little bit?
And guess
Urban
who's
Meyer
fired last year.
You know, I think this one is interesting in the sense of they're trying to rival ESPN. Like FS1 is doing everything they can with their shows, the programs, radio, etc., to beat ESPN. Right, that's the goal. And while I respect it and I appreciate some of the talents that they do have, that one does nothing for me. I don't mind Matt Leinart, but he's not making me go watch TV. Reggie Bush, I watched him on the NFL Network. I'll kind of pass on that a little bit. Urban Meyer does nothing for me. Like, I just don't know if that's something that's really going to drive me to stop watching game day. And, oh, by the way, I don't watch game day. I wait for the games to start because I'm a dad. I don't have time to sit on my couch from 6 to 9 a.m.
No, they already start at 9 a.m. The game started at 9 a.m. That's, like, early enough on a Saturday to dive into football.
Well, how long are they going to go till? 2 hours? 3 hours?
I think it's a two-hour show.
So they're basically banking on getting the audience that cares nothing about the 9 a.m. start games.
Which is a decent amount of people because, for the most part, those 9 a.m. games suck, to be fair.
I disagree.
Like watching Indiana and Northwestern?
No, I don't.
In front of four people?
But I think what they're doing is they are over-projecting the amount of people that don't care about those games.
Okay.
I think it's a large portion. I think there's a lot. If you're a college football fan, like a true diehard, I think predominantly you're watching the ABC 9 o'clock game. You're watching ESPN Big Ten. You're watching a game. Are you going to not watch for an hour?
No, I mean, no. I would rather watch football than a pregame show.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though I don't want to watch that football game, but it's better than a pregame.
When do we stop doing this campus thing?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to go away as long as College Game Day's around. That was such a thing for them for so long. But the excitement's not going to be the same on campus because there's still a little bit of a buzz for certain places when game day comes. Like, look at Washington State last year.
Well, I mean,
I know that was unique.
It's a very unique situation.
Let's say Oregon State.
Or it's still a big deal to Oregon, though. Oregon loves
it. Yeah, when game day comes.
But Duck fans really care?
Let's say this upcoming year, Oregon State is their first game Oklahoma State?
Yeah, on
that's
the
your
31st.
First game. Let's say it's at home, right?
Yep.
Let's say College Game Day says we're going to Corvallis.
Cool.
That's kind of a big deal. I mean,
cool.
For you.
No, that'd be highlights
right?
the program.
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's cool. They're here.
But you take away the programs like OSU that don't get it all but more than one time in their existence.
Right.
Like, does Oregon Duck fan care anymore if they find out game day's going? They went there this year, and it felt like the buzz was substantially less than it had been ever.
Because it's on at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you want from us, people? Come on now. So Fox is launching a pregame show to try and rival College Game Day. Herbs, the old Urban Meyer, back in media. Not with ESPN. He's working for Fox this time. He's going to be with Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, and Brady Quinn. Catch the fever. Hey, we got a big slate of sports tonight as the Blazers are back in action. We'll get a look at that game as they're taking on the Clippers, who, by the way, don't look now. They're playing good basketball. This isn't a gimme.
No, the Clippers are not a gimme.
It's going to be a big one for Portland tonight. So we'll dive into that, answer the poll questions, and wrap up our show from the Portland Diamond Project. We'll do it next on The Fan. Hey, welcome back in 248, hanging out here, Portland Diamond Project. Had a lot of fun today. Want to thank everybody for stopping by, and Pat Casey for hopping on, Darwin Barney, Kevin Gunderson. It was a Beaver-heavy show. I was hearing from my Duck buddies right off the bat when you teased the show.
Well, I didn't.
Jeez, what do we need, 3 hours of Beaver talk here?
I'm sorry, because it's predominantly Duck talk all year.
And to which one of my Beaver buddies responded, is there any former Oregon baseball guys to talk to? Hey, there's a few. Okay.
Ryan Healy.
There's a few.
You got Ryan Healy.
Got a couple of guys in the big leagues.
Why
does
he spell his name R-Y-O-N?
Ryan.
But it's Ryan.
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 Yeah, it's a strange spelling.
It's like the Sean with a S-E-A-N.
Right.
You're seen.
Yeah.
You're not Sean.
You're not fooling anybody there, buddy. It has been fun. Isaac and Sue coming up after us, so stop by, say hello. We'll be out here all the way until 7 o'clock. You can pick up some cool merch, grab a beer, grab a hot dog. Awesome thing to do on a Tuesday. We have some poll questions to answer here.
Well, and I'm disappointed in us in one sense for what we did today did not do.
What did we not do today?
We have to talk about Aunt Becky tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to it. Yeah.
I'm going to read four or five different articles on this topic.
Because she is, by the way, she's on the run. She has not turned herself in yet.
You're kidding.
The feds showed up to her house, and she wasn't there. What, the other gal? Who's the other gal?
Felicity Huffman.
She's already in custody. Yeah. Becky's on
Aunt
the run.
Aunt
Becky's on the run. Jesse put her on the back of the motorcycle, and they're cruising down the streets of California right now.
Well, it's probably not good that Barstool found a picture of her daughter, and her daughter was asked about college, and she said, I don't want to go for school. I want to go for the parties. I'm glad you paid an extra $300,000 or whatever the amount was to get your kid into USC, and she doesn't care about USC.
I thought only athletes like Cardale Jones could get away with that. I'm not here for school. What student can say that? I'm not here for school.
I want to major in football.
Like,
okay.
All right. Hey, you know what?
She'd be welcome to.
You're going to be an NFL player. You can major in whatever
what
you want.
What if she went on the lam?
Yeah, but how funny would that be? I think on the run for months on end.
I think she was still doing that Fuller House show.
Yeah, I think she's still on it. I think it came out with a new season here recently.
It's going to be odd write-off when they find out she's in Canada and never coming back to the States.
Yeah, Becky's on vacation. She'll be back in season four.
Now, they have to kill her off at that point.
Yeah, you have to. She's
what happened to Aunt Becky? Yeah. She fell off the Golden Gate. She's gone.
Been going to prison for 10 years, man.
Okay, she's with Michelle then.
So we'll get to them more tomorrow. Read up on it. It's a wild story.
It is very wild.
Our poll questions we did, Portland Diamond Project related. Poll questions today to have some fun. Do you want an American League team or a National League team? 62% of people said American League.
Give me the AL West, baby.
They want an AL West rivalry. Even though it's fake baseball, I'll still take it because it's Major League Baseball.
I remember you said that. Hey, do you remember when you said 5 years ago this is fake baseball?
Fake baseball, baby. Still, I'll go down on that hill. Do you want expansion or relocation? We got a 50-50 split with expansion and relocation. I understand the arguments for both, but relocation means it happens sooner. So there's the positive, but expansion, yeah. It's kind of your own thing. It's new and it's unique. Positives to both sides of that coin.
Well, I just tell you, I'm pretty convinced that this group for sure wants relocation.
They want the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
That's who they want.
Yeah.
And they're still trying
hard. They'll take
for
the Rays, though, if you're going to offer up the Rays.
We'll change the name on that one, though. And we asked, will you leave your former team behind and root for Portland first? 65% of you said yes, abandon the old team.
I try to tell you guys all the time, I think people love baseball teams for different reasons here. When you get a team in your city, it does change things.
Changes it, man. You're around the team, you buy the gear, you're going to the games. Completely different, watching them on TV every night. For those of you who don't get the, you know, I get the extra innings package, so I can watch Giants games all the time.
Must be nice to be that rich.
But Sheesh. For those fans who don't do that, I mean, you can't watch it. If you're out of market, you can't see your team unless you're on national TV.
I have to text Joe Fisher and be like, hey, Joe, how do I use Reddit to watch baseball games?
Oh, you know he's got a way to do it.
Oh, Joe knows how to navigate Reddit better than anybody I've ever met.
He's got a way to do it.
He's like, hey, HBO doesn't do softcore anymore, but they have all of it on Reddit. I'm like, oh, why do you know that? He won't explain.
That's where you need to go. Hey, coming up tomorrow, just something to remind you of, the Pac-12 tournament officially starts tomorrow.
It does.
When's the first game? 12, right when we go on the air. Arizona and USC play. Oregon State's got a bye, so they don't play. You got Colorado and Cal, Stanford, UCLA, and then Oregon will be the nightcap, 8:30. Which I'm kind of bummed they didn't get the early game. We could have had the day off.
Oh, damn. I didn't right? think about that.
I was thinking about that. They play day games. We could have had that game.
I'd have been such a big fan of that.
Not happening.
Let me just say shout out to Oregon, too, for hooking us up with the Dana Altman interview.
Thanks.
Oh, wait. We didn't have Dana Altman on him.
Didn't
it's
have
great.
Him.
I'm loving it.
But Oregon and Washington State play tomorrow. Pac-12 tournament begins. Tonight, we do have a big game. So I told you last night you needed to keep an eye on OKC and Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And OKC went in there and got a win. Now, a lot of people thought Portland eventually could jump Oklahoma City because of the difficulty in
schedule.
The Thunder's remaining schedule.
Yeah.
Portland's is actually rather easy. Well, OKC just went and won one of the tougher games. They still got a lot of tough ones.
Right.
But remember, they have the tiebreaker over you, so you have to finish ahead of them in the standings. Now they're a half game up because of their win last night. This is a team, by the way, OKC, who went to L.A. and lost to the Clippers, who Portland is playing tonight. And the Clippers are all the way up to the sixth seed now. They've jumped San Antonio and Utah.
Well, San Antonio is, by the way, San Antonio suddenly is a really good team. They're red hot as well, and I know Portland has them coming up
They've
soon.
They've won five straight, so has the Clippers.
The thing I would say, too, is OKC lost that game to the Clippers. You got to remember, that was on a back-to-back after their overtime game that was super emotional against Portland. Not that that's like the end-all, be-all reason why. You can't overlook the Clippers. The thing with Portland, though, that's not in their advantage, I believe they have fewer home games
they got
than
a lot of
OKC,
road games.
So even if OKC has tougher opponents, at least they know they're going to have home court
right.
for a couple of those tough ones. So we'll see, man. I'm not going to give up hope that they can get the 4 seed in the West. Here's a crazy scenario that I'll tell you, though. I saw a Blazer reporter. If Houston through Utah all finish in a 4-way tie, Portland gets the 6 seed, Houston gets the 3 seed, and then for some strange reason, Houston, if they were to win in Portland, or if Portland were to take on Houston, Portland would have home court advantage.
Okay.
It's a weird scenario.
It doesn't make any sense.
And I'm not even 100% certain I agree or know that
right?
that's true. But that person is somebody I've kind of trusted on Twitter.
You saw it on the internet. It's got to be true.
It's got to be right.
It's got to be right, man. So we'll see if they get a win tonight. Big one for the Blazers down in L.A. against the Clippers, who have won 5 straight games. No Evan Turner. I haven't seen word on Rodney Hood, but Evan Turner out once again for Portland.
Come on down. Come hang out. Hey, Isaac and Zucker about to start the show. They've got Craig Cheek right off the bat. I think Barrett's hopping on with them. Jim Joyce. And then they're probably going to get Russell Wilson at 4.
Yes.
If they can get it.
Looks like Russell Wilson will be on this afternoon as well. So it's fun. Thanks so much to the folks at the Portland Diamond Project for hosting us. We love the effort to bring Major League Baseball to Portland and glad to do anything we can to help. So stop by, say hello, sign the board, grab a beer, grab a dog, and enjoy some live radio out here, 1919 Southwest Morrison. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number One is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.